You know, for the month of January, we were on the topic of generosity. Now we move to the topic of branding. We'll be focusing on the question, what kind of church are we? What kind of church are we? For these next few Sundays, we'll look at a church that includes. We're going to talk about the word including today. Instruct, involves, and invest. So what kind of church are we? Usually when someone asks me this question, I respond by saying we are a Southern Baptist church. We give them our address, and I begin to tell them about our programs and various things that we offer. I told them about how caring and giving and praying church we have, and of course, all that's correct. And what I've done over the years, I believe, as I thought about this question this past week a lot, is reduced church to buildings and programs. And we can do that a lot. When somebody asks us about what we're about, we reduce it to basically church and programs, what we have to offer. You know, I've often thought about this question, and since we are fresh off of generosity this past month, this would be a good question to look into. You know, growing up in a church setting and going through a couple of church splits or meltdowns over the years, I understand the severity of church relationships. I also understand that even those who have been church members like myself all of our lives sometimes aren't functioning at times where we should spiritually. You know, when push comes to shove, those who have been in church all their lives often don't behave any better than people who choose to stay at home enjoying their coffee and donut hour. You know, maybe some of those people stay at home because of some of us have that grown up in the church all of our lives still don't know how to act all that nice. Just a thought. You know, I realize in a church setting there are a lot of joys, right? There's a lot of sorrows, everything in between all that. You know, as Christians, we're family. We're all family. And sometimes within that family, there are family issues that come up that need to be addressed. Observing all this, we have to ask ourselves still, what kind of church are we? Through all what we've been through, what kind of church are we? How have we been branded probably in the community? Does church really make a difference when it comes to the transformation of human beings into the image of Christ? In other words, are we really authentically being transformed into the image of Christ? Do we really strive each and every day to live the kingdom life daily? Does being part of a church make us better, or does it make us just busier? You know, to be honest with you, I sometimes am completely, completely in awe when it comes to other people's courage and sacrifice, wishing at times that I could be the same. You know, when out in public, I watch at times how people interact with others and watch how various employees will do their jobs. I see at times complete strangers helping other strangers. I observe the radicalness of and love from others in the past, like, let's take Mother Teresa, Billy Graham. How about Martin Luther King? And I'm sure there's many, many others. Even further back during the Reformation period, those that were persecuted for the gospel of Christ. Think about what they went through, their transformed lives. All this can challenge me. All this can challenge me to rethink church. To rethink church just a little. I can't help wondering, does anything today, in today's church setting, does anything in church today turn out these kind of transformed lives? Are we really making a difference in our community? Are we really making a difference in each other's lives? Are we really authentically being transformed? Guys, this is a good question, isn't it? About asking ourselves, what kind of church are we? This is a good question to wrestle with these next four Sundays. So let's dig deep in the trenches and let's do this. Let's desire to live life together around spiritual transformation and authentically really see what that looks like. So stand with me now that you got that comfortable spot. Get your Bibles. You're going to see some words on the screen. And I want you to say these words with me. This is my Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, hide his words in my heart,
that I may not sin against God. Now we're going to go to Acts chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me. If you don't, there's one in the pews. Get on your phone, iPad, what do you have? Or you're going to see it on the screen as well. This will be our next four Sundays, including this one, will be our theme verse that we're going to be able to read each week, along with a few other verses that I'm going to implement into the message. But this is considered to be the purpose statement for the church, and here's how it began. It says, so those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added to them, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. So according to this verse, the purpose or activities of the church should be teaching biblical doctrine, providing a place of fellowship for believers, observing the Lord's Supper, and praying. You guys go ahead and be seated. Thank you. Before I start with some of these topics, I think we first have to address this about how you guys are included in all this. How am I included in all this? First of all, guys, God's creation includes you. God's creation includes you. Now stop and think about that just for a moment. Of how this, let that sink in, of how really just awesome that really is. About God, the creator of the universe, included you when he didn't have to, includes you to be part of that plan that he had. Includes you. Have you ever wondered why God created you? How he created me? I think that's a beautiful question. That's a great question. And if you're not the first to ask it, if you look back at King David's life, ask essentially the same thing in Psalm chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. He says, when I consider your heavens, now think about what David's been through. He goes, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. Now think about that and put yourself in David's position here. God cared for you enough to create you, to include you. When God created Adam, he made him after God kind, in the image and likeness of God. Even after the fall of mankind, he is still said to be in God's image and likeness. However, the image was corrupted by man's rebellion at the fall. And most of you guys are familiar with the account of Genesis, and all the aspects of God's image were stained. But, let me throw this in here, these aspects were perfect in Christ, who was and is the image of the invisible God and the express image of God, both in his life on earth and also in heaven. So I believe we need to understand God didn't need us to begin with. Let me say this again. He didn't need us to begin with. In Acts chapter 17, verse 24 and 25, it says, the God who made the world and everything in it is not served by human hands as if he needed anything at all. He also didn't make us because he needed his ego filled. Right? That doesn't make sense at all. It's not like God made us to satisfy some craving to be worshipped or needed. God is totally secure in who he is, even without us. God chose to create us out of this. He chose to create you and me, this world, out of great love for us. You are included in his love. Jeremiah 31:3. I have loved you with an everlasting love, Scripture says. God loved us before he even created us, according to Scripture. That's what everlasting love means. He created us. God is love, and because of that love and his wonderful creativity, he made you in his image. So we can enjoy all that he is and all that he has done because he created us out of love. God also created us to fulfill this. He created us to fill his eternal plan. And I could write a lot of pages on this, or I could speak about this for a long time. However, God in his infinite wisdom chose to make us a part of his eternal, magnificent, wonderful, and awesome plan. What part, though, do we play in this plan? Ever thought about that? What part do you play in this plan of God's? Well, the Bible is full of instructions of how we should live our lives, but here's a few key verses to remember. First of all, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Matthew chapter 22, verse 39. Love your neighbor as who? Yourself. And then Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Did you guys realize that? He prepared all that in advance for you to do good works, for him to get the glory. Guys, we're also included in this. And here's the tragic thing of the fall of man. We're also included in the war between God and Satan and God's ultimate plan to defeat Satan. We're included in that. By putting our faith in God, we can defeat Satan and his lies. Finally, perhaps I think the most important, guys, we are included in God's eternal plan is to point people to eternal life with Christ himself through his son, Jesus. The Bible calls this our ministry of reconciliation. You can see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's why, if you think about it, that's why we are here. But it's also important to note, since we are included in this beautiful plan of God, we have a choice. You guys have a choice in all this. Did you guys realize that? You have a choice. When God created us, he didn't make us some kind of pawns in his cosmic chess game. We are not toy soldiers. God gives you, and he's given me, this freedom of choice under his sovereign plan and his will of life. God may not need us, but here's the thing. We certainly, without a shadow of a doubt, need God. I hope you made the choice to put your trust completely in the God that created you and me and be included in his exciting part in his loving and eternal plan. Here's another thing. When you look at what kind of church are we, what is the church? Well, it is a church that includes you. Let me explain. The Christian church includes you. This is a visible church, much like you guys here today, which consists of this physical gathering like we're doing today, usually in church buildings like most of us have in America. The universal church basically can consist of Christians throughout all the ages and everyone that we can't see today that have believed and professed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The universal church is one, while the local churches are many, and we are many of local churches. Every Christian, every follower of Jesus Christ is a member of this universal church, because by definition, Christians are what? We're believers in Christ, and that includes you. You are included if you are a follower, an authentic believer of Jesus Christ. Therefore, you are members of his body in the church. The Bible, in fact, offers a number of images. Number of images of the church, such as calling it the body of Christ. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. The church is also called the people of God. You are the people of God. Christ is the head of the people of God. He is the head of the church. Now, think about it this way. With a country club membership, you pay others to do the work for you. My friends, this is not a country club, right? With church membership, everyone has a role and everyone has a function, or you should have. That's why some are hands and feet, why others might be ears and eyes. We are all different, but we are necessary parts of the whole. Does that make sense? I hope it does. Each part, each and every one of those parts, guess what? Includes you. You are included in that part. You have a significant part to play. You have work to do, or guess what? The whole body suffers. There is a beautiful diversity in the midst of the unity of the church membership, I believe. The Bible makes it clear that if one part does not do its job, the whole body does not function well. But if one part does its job well, the whole body then does what? It rejoices because it's stronger together, right? So while the local church consists of organizations and institutions, which is all correct, the universal church consists of all Christians united under Christ, and that includes each and every one of you. Now, how exciting is that? I think that's awesome stuff. Also, guys, not only a church that includes you, the purpose of the church, guess what? Includes you. Did you realize that? The purpose of the church includes you. God's church has many purposes. And you guys sitting there today can think of a lot. We have evangelism, edification, worship, fellowship. Sometimes we even get involved in social concerns of life, don't we? To evangelize means to basically to tell others the good news. We tell others the gospel of Jesus Christ and what he has done for your life and for others. And Matthew 28:19 provides the mandate to spread the gospel. It's called the Great Commission. Every church, and when I say every church, that includes you, needs to be involved in some form of evangelism, which we'll be discussing in a couple of Sundays. We should be reaching out to non-Christians with the truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what is the purpose of the church? Have you thought about that question before? What's the purpose of the church? You know, Paul gave an excellent illustration to the believers in Corinth. And the church is God's hands, his mouth, his feet in this world, the body of Christ. You'll see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We are to be doing the things that Jesus would do if he were here physically on this earth. And the church is to be Christian, Christ-like, and also Christ-following. The purpose of the church then, therefore, includes who? It includes you. Includes you. Worship, when we look at this word, is a key function to the church. Is a key function. This as well includes you. So it's where we gather with other Christians and we worship. This is what we're doing this morning. We are coming with other Christians and we're worshiping. We're singing songs and praises to God. We're listening to scripture. We're praying. We're preaching. This does not mean that the church building is only the place we can worship, though. Do you guys understand that? It's not. But it's something the church does often. Although different Christian churches have different kinds of worship styles or music, the purpose is to do this. The purpose is still to glorify God and worship our Creator. Not to, listen closely, it's not to entertain or amuse you. It's to worship our Creator. So another purpose of the church is at times is this, and I mentioned this, we take up these social concerns. Now some of us do this a little bit too much. Some people in our society are overspoken about it. And then some people are not spoken enough about it. So there's a fine line in there that's kind of hard to read at times, sometimes hard to live, or sometimes what to say or not to say in these social concerns. But we always should say what God puts on our hearts in the most loving way we can according to the scripture. This means we are not simply together on a on an intellectual level, spend all of our time in worship or evangelize without some type of humanitarian concern. And I think while these things are very important in the discipleship-making process in life of any church, I think it's also important to go out into the world and do something positive to help others just as Christ called you to do, to go out and help others. Social concern was a key part of the early Christian church. And I believe it's continued to be a central component of Christianity today, or it should be. Now, here's another one that you will find probably maybe just a little amusing, but the imperfect church, guess what? Includes you. The imperfect church includes you. It includes me. Now, think about that statement. The imperfect church includes you. If this is so, listen closely now. If this is so, then what does this church actually look like to our community? If our community is, now take this personally, each and one, don't look around at like over here or over there or over here. I'm not pointing over here for somebody. I'm just saying, you know, don't take that the wrong way. Look at yourself this morning. Look at yourself. Take it personally. I've got to take it personally. When people look at you, what kind of church are you? If you're included in God's plan and people, our society, look at you, look at me, what are they seeing? How are you defining the church of God? How are you living out what God has instructed us to live out? Have you ever thought about that? I think it's very critical that we think about that more often. Being the church does not make us perfect or better than anybody else. It means that we are saved by the blood of Christ. We are imperfect, but I'll tell you this, our Lord Jesus Christ is perfect. We do not deserve to be saved because of anything that we have done, but because of what Christ has done for us. It's nothing that you've done. It's what Christ has done for us. If it took the blood of a perfect one to pay for the sins of this world. He himself is the propitiation for our sins. That means that his sacrifice appeased God's wrath and satisfies his justice. Jesus said there is no other way. Salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, lest no one can boast. That means that if you have made that decision, you are included in that. So, how about this? Haven't you found the perfect church? Have you ever gone to a perfect church? Raise your hand if you have a perfect church. Raise your hand if you are a perfect person. Now, raise your hand if you belong to an imperfect church. Raise your other hand if you are an imperfect person. Includes us, you and me, imperfect. I'm glad I didn't get an amen on that last one. You will never find the perfect place to be a part of. Because it includes you and also myself. Every visible and local church consists of a mixture of members of all of whom are flawed at some degree, to one extent or another. And if you haven't decided for Emmanuel Baptist Church to be your home, here's what I want to encourage you to do. If you're here today and you're just kind of shopping around, let me just say that, all right? Do your best. Do your best to find a solid church that honors the Bible, that holds true to the best of its ability in the essential beliefs of Christianity. And as you search for a church, remember to pray for God's guidance in that process and let him direct your steps in regards to where you need to go. And then wherever you go or wind up being, be then a part. Because if you are a saved believer, follower of Jesus Christ, you are included. And because you are included, that means that then there is work to be done. So here's another thing. The biblical foundation of love, and I talked about this at the very beginning, it includes you. It includes you. Most Bible readers will use 1 Corinthians chapter 13, commonly known as the love chapter, at weddings. It's used for a husband to declare his love for his wife or vice versa. You've heard it before. It's preached to demonstrate a fuller meaning of agape or unconditional love, if you're familiar with that. While there's nothing wrong with using this love chapter in these contexts, its original meaning was to demonstrate how church members relate to one another. So let me just stop right there before I go on with my notes. How do we relate to one another? Now make that another personal thing. Each one of you guys, youth, how do you relate to one another? Adults, older people than you. How do you relate to one another? How do you guys over here relate to these people over here? Or do you? Or vice versa? How do you all relate to these people here? Or vice versa? How do you relate? Better yet, how do you relate to other people that you work with on a Monday morning? How do you socialize with them? You know, can you imagine 1 Corinthians 13 being read? Let me just ask you this. How many of you guys have grown up in church in a church setting all your life? Raise your hand. From almost birth till now. All right. So those that have grown up in a church setting, you know where I'm coming from when we talk about
church splits or people getting mad over maybe the color of the carpet or what the walls should be painted or what should be sung on Sunday mornings, what doesn't need to be sung. You know, hymns versus contemporary or what needs to be preached from the pulpit or what we need to offer for our children's programs, what Pastor Ryan needs to be doing in our youth program. You know, everybody has some input, right? And every once in a while we get a little disgruntled. Now, how many guys have been part of my business meetings before that just got out of hand? Right? Yes, we've all been there, right? We've been to probably some church functions before that got a little nasty, a little, you know, irate, which is unfortunate because it shouldn't be that way at all. This shouldn't be. And here's what I'm blessed about. Here's what I'm thankful about. For quite a few years now, this church has been on a healthy stride. And I've got to give the God the glory for that. So I'm thankful for that. But when you go into the midst of storms like that, could you imagine 1 Corinthians chapter 13 being read at an unfriendly church meeting? And to stop, say, guys, listen, we're not going to do this anymore. We're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to talk about what love is within a body of believers, what authentically it needs to look like. In the full biblical context, that might be the best place to be able to read it. If you could just abide by the principles of the love chapter, we would have completely healthy churches across our world today. Transformation, probably, whatever I'm trying to say there, will be authentically going on. Right? Transformation will be going on. If you've ever been, if you've been here a while, you know we went through some sermons, we went through a sermon series entitled, What's Love Got to Do With It? So again, just look at some of the relational principles of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says this, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, it is not boastful, it is not conceited, does not act improperly, is not selfish, is not provoked, and does not keep a record of wrongs. It's what the church is, in part. And guess what? This includes you. You are included, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm included in this. You know, the principles of these two verses alone, I believe, are sufficient to cause a revival in most churches when you just look at the scripture alone. We are not to love fellow church members just because they are lovable. We are to love the unlovable as well. Even when it's tough to love somebody, we are called still to love that somebody. We're not to pray for and encourage our pastors and staff and friends just because, you know, you think they're doing well and we like everything that's going on. We're to pray for and encourage them when we do things, when they do things we don't like. We still are to love them. We are still to encourage them. The same goes for everyone. We're not to serve the church only when others are joining in. We serve the church when others are not joining in. We are to serve the church even if we are if we're alone. You remember the last song we sung? I have decided to follow Jesus. There's no turning back. Now, it didn't say, we have decided. It's like, I. It's personal, isn't it? You're making a personal choice. I have decided to follow Jesus. There's no turning back. And what's the, was it the third verse? Though none go with me, I still will follow. Right? None go with me, I. It doesn't say anything about we. I will still follow you, God. No matter what, I'm not turning back. I will follow. I will follow you. Very personal song. Personal application applies. We are to serve the church, even if we are alone in doing so, and that includes you. So let me give you some final thoughts. And I thought about this a lot this week. Guys, a church that includes you, listen closely. A church that includes you is concerned about you in your walk with Christ. I am concerned
about Emmanuel Baptist Church, if you are authentically walking with Christ, I care whether or not that you are. In these next few Sundays, we'll be addressing some things about church instruction, involvement, and investing. You know, we should be concerned about transformed life in Christ. You know, we want to make sure that there is unity in love through Christ. We want to make sure as a follower in Christ, you are growing and you are understanding knowledge and wisdom of God. I want to make sure that you are not tossed about by the wind and the waves, and that you continue to walk and live in Christ each and every day of your lives. That you are rooted, that you are built up, established and overflowing in gratitude to Christ, the one that created you, the one that sustains you, the one that gives you the breath of life to be able to sit here and listen to me today. You know, I believe our lives should be described by these things. Are you encouraged and strengthened so you could live for Christ? Are you growing in your knowledge and understanding of Christ? In His Word? Are you doing this? Are these things? Guys, I know that you can come on a Sunday morning for an hour. Some of you guys go to Bible study for the other 45 minutes. Some of you guys come on Wednesday night. Some of you guys are involved in small groups throughout the whole week. But what are we doing with our lives the rest of the time? Are you obeying Christ? Walking daily with Christ? Are you allowing Christ to be the, here's the challenging part, are you allowing Christ to be the center of your life? Christ must be the center of your life. Are you learning to live the kingdom life daily? Some tough questions, right? It all has to do with what kind of church are we? A church that includes you. Includes wanting to make sure that these things happen in your life. I want to make sure that these things are happening in your life. Even though I might not know some of you on a really deeper personal level, I would love to. I would love to be able to spend more time with you. I would love to be able to know you more, to be able to make sure that is Christ really the center of your life? Are you trying to live the kingdom life daily? Are you using your gifts, your abilities, your talents that God has blessed you with to be able to grow God's kingdom? Church that includes you guys wants this stuff to happen in your life. I know we are not a perfect church, but we were all in this together, right? And I want nothing more than a church that is striving to do these things the most authentically way we know how. And again, I said earlier, let's desire to live to life together. I think we can do a better job at this. I think we need to do a better job living life together, learning to live the kingdom life together. I think churches all across America, especially this area, we fail to live the kingdom life daily. We fail to live life together better each and every day of our lives. What we do, and most of you guys are like this, and I'm like this at times, what do we do on a Sunday morning after we leave here? Right, and maybe with a few of our buds or pals, we stay kind of within that concentric circle of buddies, right? And then Monday, what do? Go to school. Kind of hang around with your concentric buddies at school, your little buds, and we do the same thing at our jobs. So some of us will come on a Wednesday night Bible study. Some of you guys are involved in small groups. But what do we do throughout the whole week for Christ to be the center of your life? Have you thought about that a lot at all? How do we live? How is the church? How are churches in our community, how are they viewed in our society? Ever thought about that? You know, I've heard statements before where people say, well, I don't go to church because they're a bunch of hypocrites. Well, duh. And you're one of them, right?
because we're not perfect. But we strive to be. We should be striving. If you're not, then you need to check your closet, right? You need to open up and see what kind of baggage is in there that stinks, and try to get rid of that kind of stuff so you can strive to live the kingdom life daily. So you can strive for the perfection and all that beautiful stuff that God wants us to be a part of, right? I want so much for each and every one of you guys to live the kingdom life daily the best you know how. And if you struggle with that, I'm always available. And we have people here to be able to help you, to be able to do that, to be able to see what that looks like on a daily basis. Does that make sense at all? I hope I made sense today. Okay, I'm going to stop because I could rattle on some more. God, I just want you to know that I love you, and I care about your heart, and I care about your relationship with Jesus Christ. And with that being said, let's give God the glory and let's pray.